Hey, everybody, I'm Becky Davidson, and you are listening to the Rising Above podcast, where we share stories of hope, inspiration, and encouragement from special needs families from all around the world. And in this episode today, you are going to get to hear the story of the Kemp family. And Cassandra and Randy have been part of the Rising Above family for many years and have participated in several of our events for special needs families over the years and have even led groups for special needs parents using the Rising Above small group curriculum. So you may not be aware, but Rising Above has so many resources available for special needs families on our website, including small group curriculums that are written for special needs parents. You know, you can download the series and use them with a small group of friends or with your church, or you can download them and do them on your own. And we have so many different topics to inspire and encourage you as you raise your child with special needs. So be sure to go and check them out on our resource page on our website. Now let me introduce you to my friend Cassandra as she shares her story with us today, and I know that you will be inspired and encouraged by what she has to say. Hey, Cassandra, thank you so much for joining us for the Rising Above podcast. I'm so grateful for you and your willingness to have this conversation with us for the podcast.
Hey, Becky, thank you for having me so much.
You know, I was thinking back to how long I've known you, and it's been many, many years that you have been part of the Rising Above family. I think we actually met in Georgia at a Rising Above event.
I think you're right. It was one of the retreats that you and Jeff did for married couples of children with special needs. And that was my first time experiencing anything from Rising Above. And it just blessed me so. Joseph was really tiny at the time. And then I got to attend the By the Brook event, I think the next year, and was just so encouraged by being with women along the same journey. So it was a beautiful experience.
Well, and you have been to multiple By the Brooks and just really become a part of the Rising Above family. In fact, you've led a Rising Above community group and just have been such an asset and such a blessing to us. And so I am so grateful for you. And, you know, to start us off, just share just real briefly about your family, where you guys live, and just a little bit about your life as a special needs family.
Absolutely. So we reside in Central Florida. We live in a city called Apopka, actually, which is about 15 minutes north of Orlando. I'm originally from Florida. I met my husband maybe 17 years ago. We've been married 15 years now. Randy, I met him actually in Atlanta at Dr. Charles Stanley's church. We attended that church and met in the singles ministry. Dated for about a year and a half. Like I said, been married 15 years now. And so I've been back home, Florida being home, since 2014. When Randy and I were in Georgia, that's where we had her son. I'll tell you a little bit more about Joseph as we go along in the conversation. But we are here now in Florida, loving being back near my family. We actually have four children. Randy has an older son. He's my stepson. I've known him since he was 13. He's now 29. Wow. He lives in Georgia with his beautiful wife of about a year, year and a half. And then we have Joseph, who's 10. We have Gabby, who is 9. And we have Juliana, who is going to be 7 next month.
Wow. Well, now I know your two girls have just recently come into your life, and we'll talk more about that later. They came into your family through adoption, and so we're going to talk more about them in just a minute. But Joseph was your firstborn son.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about Joseph and about his story.
Gladly. So Joseph Randall is his name, and I try to express to people the joy that I have in being the mom of this little boy. I tell people I could not have asked the Lord for a more amazing child. Joseph, like I said, he's 10. Joseph has Down syndrome. And we learned about that when I was about 16 weeks or so. I had a OB appointment. They called and said that there were some issues with my labs and they wanted me to call them back. So that was the voicemail that I received.
Oh, wow.
I was working. Yeah. I was working as a nurse manager actually at a crisis pregnancy center.
Oh my goodness.
Doing a confirmation ultrasound for women who were in crisis pregnancy. So I just see the hand of God through that whole entire thing.
Wow.
Because I had finished nursing school and I was volunteering at the center all through nursing school. And when they were in the process of converting from a resource center to an actual medical clinic, I was a part of that steering committee because my background, my first degree is in healthcare administration. And so they asked if I would help with the conversion process, policies and procedures, just making sure that we had everything that we needed. And as I was nearing the end of my nursing education, they needed a nurse manager actually for the clinic. And I prayed so much about that. And, you know, because I'm thinking I'm going to go in the hospital and work. And my thought was I was going to be a pediatric nurse, but God had another plan. Mm-hmm. And his plan was for me to actually be the nurse manager at a pregnancy medical clinic. And so I was actually the one who would do the pregnancy tests for clients, educate them about their choices. We would certainly never refer for abortion, but we wanted to make sure that the women knew what the process involved should they decide to terminate their pregnancy. Thankfully, we were able to share the gospel there. Mm-hmm. It certainly was it's a Christian organization, but God used it in so many ways in my own personal life, because I'm seeing, you know, beating hearts on the screen every day.
Wow.
As early as 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm serving there in that role, and I was actually at work when I got the voicemail to call the doctor's office back, and I'll never forget the hold music, and I'll hear it sometimes now.
Oh,
and
wow.
It takes me back to that place, because I didn't know what was the issue, right? They just said, call us back. We have some information for you about your labs. And so spoke to a sweet nurse, and she basically told me my AFP, alpha-fetoprotein, was abnormal. And this was a strong suggestion, or it's likely that our child would either have Down syndrome or spina bifida. More so Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if many people know at the time, and I don't know if that's changed the stats, but for people who have that type of lab result back and people think that their child may have Down syndrome, the abortion rate was pretty high, like 90%.
Wow.
And so, you know, she immediately proceeded to explain, you know, you can go get genetic testing done and do a level 2 ultrasound and all of these things. And I'm sitting in my office, my mind is swirling. I have clients that I need to go serve and talk to them about being in the middle of their crisis pregnancy. And we knew that we were choosing life. Like, it was not an option. We knew that. And so I got through the rest of my day by God's grace. I just asked him to hold me and just give me grace for the rest of the day so I could focus on these women. And I was okay. I drove home. I was okay. And then I walked through the door and then the tears started.
Yeah. Wow.
And Randy was sitting on the couch and he saw me, saw my face, and he immediately was afraid, because he thought maybe I had miscarried, because he just saw my face and I couldn't get the words out, you know. And so he took my hand and brought me over and sat me down. And he's like, what happened? What happened? And I said, you know, I got a call today, and they shared that my lab results are abnormal, and they think our child will have some type of special need. Looks like it most likely will be Down syndrome. And I'll never forget, Becky, he said, is that all?
Oh my goodness.
And I turned around and I looked at him. He goes, is that all?
Oh,
he goes, oh, we can deal with that. he honestly thought we had lost the baby. His assurance of this is what you're upset about. God knew what I needed to hear at the moment. It just did wonders for my heart, because as a nurse, like, you learn all these things, right? All
the medical side of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
You just all these things, and just his ability to be just strong in the moment and kind of not make light of it, but just kind of say, okay, this is who God gave us.
Yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah.
Just did so much for my heart. And we decided we weren't going to move forward with the extra ultrasounds and all that. We were like, you know, we'll find out.
This is our baby, and it is, yeah, it is what it is. And yes, we're going to deal with it. And so,
you
went through the rest of your pregnancy then kind of, you know, knowing that this was going to be a very strong possibility. How did you handle that? How did you handle those months? I mean, you were early in your pregnancy. How did you handle all those months of the unknown?
I tell you, Grace, Becky, and just reflecting back on his faithfulness, God's faithfulness to me in the past. And I actually asked God during that time. I said, Lord, you know, we're not going to do the level 2 ultrasound. You know, there's also a lot of false positives out there. Will you just tell me? And there was a scripture that he gave me. I'll never forget. It was Deuteronomy 29:29. And basically that says the secret things belong to the Lord.
Mm.
And it was like, you'll know when it's time for you to know, you know. Don't get into fear. Don't get into worry. I have you and I have this baby. I'm the one that placed this baby in your womb. You know, just reminding me of Psalm 139. Just he's the one that gives life. And this is what I tell my ladies in the clinic every day. That's what I would tell them every day.
Right. And so there you were living it out in front of them every day.
Yes.
And so then when Joseph was born, you found out he did have Downs. How did you respond at that point when you got the confirmation? He's your son, you know.
Yes.
So how did you guys respond?
We were fine. We were fine, and I'll never forget, because the pediatrician came in, because he was born like Apgar scars were gray, 8-9, no time in the NICU or anything. He ate well just from the outset. And the pediatrician came in and she's like, you know, we know that your AFP was abnormal. We just want to do some tests and confirm that he does indeed have Down syndrome, and we'll let you know. We were like, okay. And she said, she just kind of looked at us quizzically because we were so calm about it.
Right.
We were like, okay, you know.
Do what you got to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're fine. Whatever. We're fine. And then so she came in probably a day or two later to confirm it. And again, we were fine. We were at peace. Because I feel like God had prepared my heart for the rest of that pregnancy, because it was a lot of prayer. It was a lot of this may be the case, and learning what we could learn as parents to prepare ourselves of the possibility. But I will tell you, there was one day while I was still in the hospital with him, because I had to have a C-section because his heart rate dropped, and he ended up being fine afterwards, but I did have to have an emergency C-section. But I will tell you, there was one time during that, I think it was a 4-day stay, 5-day stay, that I wasn't okay.
Mm.
And it was after a very well-meaning doctor came into the room with a book. He was a geneticist.
Yeah.
And he came into the room with a book.
We love great the books, book. Don't we? Just love the books.
Yeah. It's a great book. I recommend the book.
Keep the books away. Yeah.
Right. But it was babies with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And again, great information, but it's something about opening that book and all these things that could potentially go wrong with my child.
To set you off.
That's when the panic set in, the anxiety set in that moment. And I will say that's the first time I ever saw my husband cry. And it wasn't because he was worried about parenting Joseph. He was worried about me.
Right.
And he's like, you have to be okay. You know, you have to be okay. And it was just the fear. You know, the enemy uses things, and it was just fear. It was just fear of oh my gosh, what if this happens and that happens and this happens? And this is after he, they had told me that he had an aortic murmur as well. And so everything just kind of started swirling around in my mind, but it was in one of those moments where I just started praying and the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, take no thought for tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Don't worry about tomorrow. I've got this. I have you. I have Joseph. I have Randy. I have this. And because I said, Lord, I need your peace. I can't do this without your peace. Mm-hmm. And he made himself known to me in that moment when I needed him desperately. And it's like, once I heard that, that whisper from the Holy Spirit, not to worry about tomorrow, what it's going to look like, I was okay. So we ended up going home after the normal time in the hospital. And then we had this experience. I was having shortness of breath the next day and it wouldn't get better. Joseph was doing great at home. It wasn't getting better. And so the next morning I woke up and still short of breath. And I was like, babe, something's the matter. Something's not right with me. I tried to drink water. It didn't stay in. And so I said, take me to the emergency room. So I actually went to the emergency room. They ran some tests. I'll never forget the doctor walking down the hallway coming to me and he's shaking his head. I'm like, why are you shaking your head at me? What's going on? And he's like, I have to keep you. He's like, I know you have a brand new newborn at home.
Oh my goodness.
But I have to keep you because I was in fluid overload. So I had to stay at the hospital with my newborn at home with my husband who was by himself.
Oh my goodness.
But it's just those things, those experiences that I look back on and I'm like, God, you held us, you mm-hmm. sustained us, you right. graced us in some really, really difficult moments. Of course we got through that and everything was fine, but God is faithful. And that's what I take away is just like, I would have never asked for a situation like I have, but good Lord, I couldn't have asked for a more amazing little boy.
Well, so, I have seen your good. Little boy, and he is absolutely adorable. In fact, one of my most favorite pictures that we've used over the years for different things when we're showing moms with their children is a picture of with you and your son that is just adorable. He's so cute. And, you know, so, you know, you had that early on experience, and then now he's 10. Mm-hmm. So over the years, has it been, you know, and life always has ups and downs, but... Mm-hmm. Has it been pretty calm and smooth? Have you had times where you're just like the special needs life has just been overwhelming, or you know, have you found ways to just manage all the stress and things like that as you've raised your son?
I think it overall, it's a journey, Becky. You know that,
right?
You have really good days, and then you have some really bad days. For me, where anxiety tends to set in is around his vision. So people, like if they meet Joseph, people have told me, oh, I didn't know he had Down syndrome. I mean, he functions well, he's got a speech delay, but you can totally carry on a conversation with him. But one of his weaknesses is his vision. So without glasses, Becky, he can see probably not even a hand's breadth away.
Wow.
You know,
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I mean, severely nearsighted. And because he's such an active boy, I mean, he likes to trampoline and running like any typical boy. One of the things with being so nearsighted is there's a very high risk of retinal detachment. And it's like, you just kind of live with that.
Right.
You know, and every 6 months to a year, we go and see the ophthalmologist and he has his vision checks and stuff like that. But, you know, I just live with this. Is he going to be legally blind? You know, is he going to end up not being able to see?
And all those what ifs.
All those what
plague us, especially, you know, especially his parents. Right.
Yeah. And I hate the visits to the eye doctor because, you know, and the last time that we went, every time we go, it's like, oh, he's a little bit more nearsighted. It's a little bit more nearsighted, but it's not enough to change his prescription. But it's just something that I carry around with me and it's hard, you know, and you get looks from people who have a conversation with him, and he looks typical to some people, and then they go to talk to him, like kids, and they realize he's not typical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the looks or the moments that where you feel uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. I just think that it's just something that we're going to face for, mm-hmm. for the rest
part of your journey. It's part of your story.
It's part of it.
Yeah. Well, now let's fast forward a little bit. You have mm-hmm. your sweet Joseph, who's now 10.
Yes.
But you've mentioned two other daughters. So tell us about your girls and how they have became a part of your family here pretty recently, I would say.
Yes. So Gabby and Juliana were placed with us last July. So it's been about a year and a half. Like I said, they're now 9 and 6. And we learned about these girls through close family friends from our church, part of our Access Ministries, which is our special needs community, which that's one of the things about being parents of children with special needs, the community, the support, just being able to love on one another has been amazing. We've made some of the best relationships being on this journey. We actually lead a Bible study at our church pre-COVID for families of children with special needs. And it's just rich conversation. You feel like you can just relax and just be yourself with people that get this journey. Mm-hmm. But this particular set of friends, they also have a son with Down syndrome. He's older. But they were approached from a couple at church because they do have a child with Down syndrome. And asked if they'd be interested in potentially bringing two little girls that are sisters into their home, one with Down syndrome, and that would be Gabby. And so my friend called and asked me to pray for them about it. But as she was telling me about the situation, I didn't know she was asking me to pray for her. I honestly, and I know it was a God thing. I thought she was telling me because she wanted to know if we would be willing to take the girls in.
Wow. Oh,
so she's telling me, and she's like, and then I said, oh, for us. And she said, as she was, and she always says this, as she was explaining it to me, she said just something in her heart just was like, yes, yes, for you guys. That wasn't what she was saying when she called me. That wasn't her plan. But when I said that to her, she was just like, yes, I think they're for you all to bring home to your family and love on. But what we did, both couples, because we didn't know what God's will was for certain, we both walked the journey. We both went through the process. We both took the state required classes. And we said, whichever family God wants to take these girls, we're going to do it. And the interesting thing is we were in the middle of a David Platt study called Radical. Mm-hmm. Which is so much about, you know, laying down what we think our life should look like and just saying yes to Jesus, whatever it is he's asking us to do. And so when I learned about these girls and I told Randy about it, he was just like, yeah, we'll do it. I mean, just
amazing.
Amazing. So, you know, it was God because he was just like, yes, you know, and I just look at the grace of God and the way he works in our lives, because going from being so fearful and anxious about having one child with Down syndrome to just saying, yes, we're going to take in another child with Down syndrome, right? Plus a sibling who's typical yet also has special needs just because of the behavioral and trauma, you know, in the background of being in a situation where you've been in more homes than you should at your age. So yes, we met them one time, Becky, before they came to live with us. So this was not the typical, let's meet up at parks and go for ice cream and, you know, have them spend the night a couple nights. This was, we meet you. We met them at the park with the family member that they were living with. She took maybe a week to make her decision. And then we were told that they were for us.
And it was meant to be.
We brought them home.
And it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, it's been an interesting journey. It hasn't been easy. I know, because you and I've talked some, and it's been, you've had your challenges. And
yes.
And so how do you get through those days when you're like, okay, you know, we're having a really hard day. How do you make it through those days? You've got, in essence, three kids who have special yes. needs in your home that you're caring for, plus working full time and, yes. you know, doing life. And so how do you manage that? How do you manage that stress? How do you manage mm-hmm. those days that just seem so hard?
I had one yesterday. Yeah. I had one of those days yesterday, and this is probably the hardest experience I've ever been through. Mm-hmm. It is tough because we're still getting to know the girls. The girls are getting to know us. Brandy and I both work full time. He's a director and a teacher at a school of children with special needs. I work full time, but thankfully I work from home. But there's just so much going on, so many dynamics. And, you know, based on the girl's history, Gabby, she has a very, very noticeable speech delay. I mean, she doesn't have very many words at all. I'd probably say 15 words. Mm-hmm. So there's challenges with communicating with her. She understands perfectly, but her trying to articulate is very hard. And then just with our other daughter, our youngest daughter, you know, manipulation behaviors, just so many things that just come from a history of trauma. And so as far as to answer your question, how I get through it, it's moment by moment, Becky.
Yeah.
You know, day by day. Some days are so sweet and so good. And you're like, mm-hmm. Jesus, thank you. Right. And anyway, you're like, thank you, you know.
Right.
But some days are so sweet. And you're like, thank you, Lord, for these three amazing children. Thank mm-hmm. you for choosing us, God. And then there's moments where I'm like, Lord, are you sure you chose me? Like, did I hear you wrong?
Did you get this right or wrong?
Did I get this wrong?
Yeah.
You know, did Randy get this wrong? Because it's so hard. And it's just a matter of, Jesus, I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. And just in that moment, I cannot do this. You have to do this through me. You have to give me the grace, Father, because I don't have it. Like, I'm not enough, Jesus. I'm not. Yeah. And just admitting that, you know, admitting that to my husband, I'll have moments where I'm like, I'm not enough. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And being reminded that I don't have to do it, right? It's Jesus yeah. that does it through me. He gives me the grace and he gives me the strength, but it's just this dependence on him. And, you know, we feel like we've depended on him before.
It's at a whole different level now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a whole nother level of dependence now. And it's just, I'll just start praying. And they know, like, I'll just start praying. The other day, it was a really rough morning trying to get out of the door. And it was a back and forth situation with the youngest one. And I hit my knees in the middle of the conversation. I just got down on my knees in the middle and I just started praying. And Joseph was so sweet because he happened to be home that morning and he was like, shh, mommy's praying. So because I had to.
Yeah.
I had to. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of just prayer and waking up with worship songs and speaking scripture out loud because that's what gets me through.
That's what gets
and
you
if through. I didn't have Jesus, I don't know.
How would we make it? You know, how would
I don't
we make
know.
It? And, you know, and another dynamic that you have to your family mm-hmm. is that you all are an interracial family.
We are.
And so yes. share what your experience has been like.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're a Black family and our daughters are white and Hispanic, but they look white, right? We know that they're Hispanic because we know their history and what's on paper, but to anybody looking at them, they would see two little white girls. And so it's been interesting. We get a lot of looks when we go out because with adoption, it's more common for white families to adopt Black children. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's the reverse.
Right.
And nobody's ever said anything out the way. We get some, like I said, some quizzical looks. The biggest, I think, concern that I have had is my husband is huge. My husband is 6'5". Like mm-hmm. just without like by himself, people turn and look at him because he's just a big person. Sweet as can be, but just a really big person. And so I've had this angst about what if he's just out, which he's been with these two little
the girls,
little white girls that don't look like him. Right. Or he's been out with just Gabby before and Gabby can't articulate, you know, so if somebody were to say something or think something's going on, she can't explain this as my daddy, you know, right. She can say daddy, but she can't hold a conversation about it. And so it's just something that I'm like, well, let's just keep, make sure we always have the paperwork with us. And you know, it's sad that you have to feel that way. But my husband's been pulled over for no reason, you know, just before, just for no reason just at all, because he's a black man, you know, driving at night somewhere. And so those are the things that we have to keep at the forefront of our minds, you know, make sure we have the guardianship paperwork with us should somebody have a problem with what they see.
And, you know, so, and those are things that I would have never thought of. You know, and so I appreciate so much you sharing that, because I think it's an important piece to your family and an important part of your makeup and things that, you know, it's just another layer.
Yes.
To your life that, that people outside are not going to know. But it's just another thing you have to deal with, you know, not only as a special needs family, but as an interracial family and just the extra dynamic that that brings to that. So,
yes. Thanks. But, absolutely. But one beautiful thing, not even a but, and one beautiful thing about that, though, is people have asked, we've had a couple people ask about, you know, the adoption journey, because it's so obvious that the kids were brought into our life. It's a great opportunity to share about who God is, right? Mm-hmm. And that He placed this call in our lives and share about Jesus. And so it's about putting His glory on display. It's about saying, this is the call that He's given to us in this season right now. And people are like, well, tell me more about that. You know, and it's an opportunity to share
about the Lord. Yeah. An open door. Well, you know, I've heard you for years. I've known you for years. And even in this conversation, I hear you over and over again. You go back to your faith. You go back to Jesus. You go back to your trust there. And God, I can't do this without you. And out of that, you several years ago started a new venture to help other people learn how to see God in their situations, in their circumstances. And it's called PrayStones. So share with us about PrayStone, what that looks like, and just stories behind it, why you wanted to start this business and what you do with PrayStones.
Gladly. Thank you for asking about it. So it launched in about 2016, and it goes back to what I was saying about God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to me, to us, over and over again. And it's remembering those moments where, like with Joseph, he failed his hearing test in his left ear in the hospital as a newborn. We prayed. We sang, "Yes, Jesus loves me," in that left ear. We took him back, and it was healed. And he hasn't had a hearing issue since. God healed the heart murmur. It doesn't mean that God's going to heal in the way we want every single time, but there are those defining moments where God has done something, whether it's the way we asked Him to do it, or maybe it's His no, He's protecting us from something, but there's those specific things that we can look back on. Like, for example, when we lived in Atlanta, right before we moved back to Florida, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer, and I ended up getting a job offer for the company that I work for now. After applying for the job a year and a half before, and I was able to spend the last 3 months with my grandmother before she died. That's something that only Jesus could do.
Right.
And so it's like, when we're in the midst of these really hard things, it's like calling to mind what He's done in the past to give us the grace and the hope and the belief that He's going to be faithful even in this really hard stuff. And so it's based out of Joshua 4, when God dried up, right, the Jordan River so the Israelites could walk across it. And then God had Joshua tell them to set up 12 stones of remembrance, one for each of the tribes. And there's something very specific in that where it says, so when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you tell them what God did. Mm. And so the whole premise is having something tangible that you can look back on and say, but God did that, and then and God did that, and God did that. And it's like, Lord, you've been so faithful. And so even though I feel like I'm struggling right now, but God, you've been so faithful. You're not going to fail me now. Even though it looks like it, even though I feel like it, you're not going to fail me. And so having something tangible. So Pray Stones is basically, they're tools. It's a guided prayer journal based on the stone theme where you write down your prayer requests, but you're very specific in looking at scripture, pillars of promise. What does God's word say about what I'm praying about? Boulders of doubt. What is the enemy using to discourage me? Where am I feeling like I'm hopeless? But then what are those gems of grace? What are those things God is doing to encourage me along this journey? Maybe it's a sermon I heard or a song or something a friend said to me. And then there's Mountain of Victory. That's when God answers. And again, it may not be the way we think he's going to answer, but the fact that he answered is a praise all by itself. Right. The God of the universe is answering, speaking into my life. Yes. And so there's something powerful, at least for me, because I've struggled with anxiety, panic attacks in the past. There's something powerful about writing down my prayer, writing down my journey, because the word of God says, you know, cast your cares on him. He cares for you, 1 Peter. And so when I'm writing those things down, I'm actually casting. I'm casting that doubt. I'm casting that anxiety upon him. But what makes it a little bit unique, the journals in the back, there's perforated pages where when God does answer the prayer, you tear that out and you write it down and then you fold it and you put it in a 4x6 album that you can set out on your coffee table or put on a bookshelf somewhere where you can look back and it's like a catalog of answered prayer. And you can share that with your kids. You can pass that down to your grandchildren. You can share it with friends. But it's just a way to have something tangible to recall his faithfulness. And we say it's putting God's glory on display, you know, all the ways he's answered our prayers.
And how can people find information about what, learn if they want to know more about that? Where can they find information?
There is a website. It's praystones.com. It's www. And it's spelled a little bit different. It's praistones.com.
And so we'll put
also a link to Facebook there too.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll put that in the show notes so that people can find that if they want to know more. You've actually come to By the Brook and done breakouts before for us, for
such
our mom's retreat, and teaching the moms how to use your system, how to use what you've created. So I know that there are lots of women and lots of people who this has been just a great resource for, just to remember. I think it's so important. You know, we have so much heart, and especially in the season that we're in right now, with all the chaos and all of the drama and things swirling around us. It's so easy to get so focused on what we see on the news, on what we see on Facebook, to take our eyes off of the truth. And so this is just a way to focus back, to be reminded of what is truth when the world is swirling all around us. Because standing on the word of God and on his truth is really the only way that we will make it through this crazy time that we're in. So
I could not agree more. And there's just something beautiful if somebody does it with, even if it's just one other person, it's just something beautiful. There's even a Bible study with it, but sharing stories of God's faithfulness, when you hear what God has done in somebody else's life, there's nothing like that, right? It's our testimonies. Like, we overcome by the blood and the word of our testimony. And hearing how he's been faithful to my sister or my brother in this gives me hope for whatever my situation is,
to whatever's going on. So
you don't feel alone.
Right. And it's just a great way to share what's happened in your life, to share with other people. And I think when things are swirling, it's so hard to see that. And so to have that, to be able to go back and look and go, oh no, look at this and remember this. And so that's a beautiful thing. So Thank you. Cassandra, thank you so much for being with me today for the podcast. We're so grateful for you. And we'll put all the information where people can find you in our show notes. And hopefully we'll be able to get together again soon. I would love to get to see you again. So
I would love to get to see you. It's been so good talking to you, Becky. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.